I dig the gristle.
A lot of gristling.
Lots of gristle. I get it.
Like 2007 New York City mixtape levels of gristle.
Oh man, with the intro with like mad drops. those are like your references.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. Could you please if you know my references from this person, and what about this one?
Could you put in a good word for me? Yes, this is DJ K Slay from around the way.
I believe you are referred to in the literature as the drama king.
Ah, yes, indeed. What can at your service? Oh, that's terrible.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. And we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We are not on Snapchat. I just realized Snapchat's kind of dying. IG stories got everything together and yeah. Snapchat. My Snapchat is slowing. The activity on it is slowing down a lot. Mm. It's interesting. So I don't know. Shout out to Khaled, right?
he's still on Snapchat.
I'm sure. But I'm sure he's getting paid to be on Snapchat. I'm sure he's cut a deal. I'm sure. Fourthdistrict.com. Shout out to Fourth. Plead the Fourth dropped in between episodes of Clock Radio Speakers, correct?
I believe that's right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so if you want to talk politics when Doc goes on his 25-minute rants here on the show, if you want that in more detail.
Yeah, if you need more ranting.
Because there's definitely a sect of our audience who wants and desires that, so... go to fourthdistrict.com and check out Plead the Fourth with Doc and Dan. That sounds like an ESPN show.
Oh no.
That's kind of dope. Plead the Fourth with Doc and Dan. I like that.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What's up, Doc? I'd usually lead you in. My bad. What's going on, homie?
Good, man. Life is good.
Life is good.
Trying to get one last productive week of work in. Gonna be out in LA next week. So
Hollywood Doc.
Hollywood Doc.
About to let your beard grow out and color it black?
No.
Just let the mustache go blonde?
I need the black wrestling boots, like the all black. That's a look.
It's totally a look. And yeah. The funny thing is in LA, you could get away with it. Nobody would say anything. The bandana, too.
He wears a red bandana?
Ooh. Dang, that just made me realize that a definitive 15 that we need to do.
Yeah. But what's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter if you want, at @doc_beats, S not a Z. But like Armand said, more importantly, follow the show at CRS Podcast. So we took a week off because sometimes we take a week off because life gets in the way.
Yep.
And so we now have an action-packed episode.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about because... You know, there wasn't enough to really discuss last week, but now there's like a whole lot. So, I mean, let's jump right into it, man.
All right. So you're vlogging.
Yeah, I'm vlogging. Yeah. I'm talking to the people. Mm. Yeah. Kairos Culture. It's like a branch of CRS Podcast. And I think I've talked to you about doing this offline like years ago.
Yeah.
And I just decided, why not? So you can search Armand Wake Up on YouTube. Subscribe to me there. You know, I'm just talking about whatever comes to mind. So if you have any topics, anything you want me to discuss, I'm probably going to keep music here, or I may talk about something that leads to here because I feel like Clock Radio Speakers is a really, really dope hub. And I just love discussing music and things of music up there. But other things that may not necessarily fit in the Clock Radio Speakers space, you know, it'll be on Kairos Culture. So just trying to build and grow that. Oh, I got my domain back.
Really?
I got ArmandWakeUp.com back. Yes, I did.
Is it all working, pointing to the right spot?
Nah. I'm rebuilding everything. I just bought it back. So if you...
You bought back the block.
I bought back the block. Yes. So if you've been on the...
So if you've gone to ArmandWakeUp.com, because we spent all these years like branding that and it became a thing, and stupid Armand let the domain lapse and didn't renew it, and there was like Japanese porn on there, and it was just really awkward and weird, and the conversations I had to have about that afterwards. But hey, I get it. So yeah, we back in the building. Brooklyn, we back on the map. But never mind all that, man. All right, we got a lot to talk about. So I think we need to like almost low-key cut the small talk and just jump like right into business, man. Where do you want to go first? You want to go Future? You want to go Nicki Remy? You want to go Just Blazing Swiss? You want to go, where do you want to go?
I want to talk about the Oscars.
Of course you want to start with the Oscars. All right, go ahead. I haven't seen a movie all year. Okay. We're going to talk about the Oscars.
Did you, so you haven't seen anything? Any of these movies that were discussed, nominated, anything like that?
No.
Mm.
No, I'm like literally in my own little world, and I'm not really a movie guy. What's the last movie I paid to go see? It's been a while. I don't know. But yeah, it's been a while. So you went, you and Marissa, friend of the show, you guys went and did your yearly binge at AMC, correct?
Yeah. So we saw over the past two Saturdays, we saw all nine nominees for Best Picture. Four the first Saturday, five this past Saturday, which was, that's pushing it. You know, we got to, like, yeah, first movie starts at 10 and the last movie lets out at like, you know, 10:15, 10:30. Like, that's a long day.
Yes, it is.
But no, movies were, you know, it wasn't the best year. It wasn't the worst year. They were, you know, but there was a nice collection of good movies. And so that's all you can really ask for, you know, because it used to be that up until like 2008, 2009, only five movies were nominated for the Academy Awards. And now it's as few as five, as many as 10. And in practice, that typically means 8, 9, or 10. So this year it was 9. And so when you have 9 movies, it means some sort of slip in that maybe you're like, well, like, you know, Hacksaw Ridge, which is, you know, it's a war movie, takes place during World War II, directed by Mel Gibson. Just not good, like, in any way possible. I'm really sorry if anybody's listening to this and saw that and said, yeah, that's like the dialogue. It's so bad. You almost think it's meant to be like a parody of war movies.
Mm.
But then you realize it takes itself very seriously. So not my favorite. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, Moonlight, which won Best Picture, was phenomenal. Moonlight is incredible. And it's a great movie. But it's also interesting because I think that since Marissa and I have started doing this, it's the first time that we have seen a movie that is primarily about African Americans that doesn't take place either in the 1950s/60s or has to do with slavery.
that narrative between that and Get Out, I've been hearing that a lot lately, where it's like black cinema doesn't necessarily have to have all of these black elements for it to be considered black cinema or black art. It's just African Americans creating art from their perspective, and that's okay, and we don't have to like say it's a black movie, it's not, it's good because it's a black movie, it's good because it's a movie,
right? No, Moonlight, like, I mean, and I heard from, you know, I heard from some people before that, oh, Moonlight needs to win because it's, it would be an important thing. Like, no, I mean, if you think Moonlight should win because it's the best movie, and I think you could make that argument easily, then just say it. Like,
yeah,
to me, the real, like, I get it that, and it's totally valid that people want more movies by people of color, directed by women, other sort of anything else that breaks Hollywood out of its sort of typical rut for better representation of all people. That is incredibly important. But the way to fix that is you don't fix that at award season.
Right.
You fix that earlier in the pipeline. You need production studios that will take chances on up and coming directors and writers of color or female directors or whatever the case might be. Like you have to build the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and it'll be, I think Moonlight will be interesting. It's by far like the smallest movie. And when I say smallest, I mean smallest in terms of how much it's made. Like it is and how much it costs. Like Moonlight is an independent movie, truly. Did not make a ton of money. And yet it is now Best Picture. And so it'll be interesting to see what like life it has after the fact. It'll be interesting to see if because of that success, other, you know, production companies sort of go, I wonder, you know, like Hidden Figures was a really entertaining and good movie, right? And but it also, you know, is about the civil rights struggle, and there's like the one white character who seems kind of gruff but is actually kind of woke in a 1960s term, and it's kind of secretly on their side, and everybody comes out in the end. Like, how, like, good movie, yeah. But like, I need something different, you know? So, you know, not, it wasn't like nearly as like patronizing as like The Help, which is, you know, my God. But yeah, Hidden Figures was good. La La Land, which got a lot of flack from people because it is a movie about people who want to be in the movies. I don't really like musicals, but I was actually pleasantly surprised. La La Land, I thought, was actually really well done. I also went in with low expectations. And so I was looking at that as, wow, that was actually... It's as much a romantic comedy as it is a musical, if that makes sense. So if you can find yourself enjoying romantic comedies, then there's a pretty good chance that you'll enjoy La La Land. If you are a fan of musicals and you go into La La Land looking for like a certain level of like, oh, how good are they dancing? How good are they? Like, no, just stop it. Like, yeah. It's not really going to work. Like, just like in, you know, 2009, 2010, I wasn't trying to go to Mayor Hawthorne concert so he could like hit the perfect note. Like, that wasn't really the point. Like, right. La La Land almost takes that approach to its singing, if that makes any sense. Not in terms of style, but in terms of like, no, these are two kind of amateurs. These aren't meant to be like song and dance people, to take like a 1950s or 40s term. Like, it's not like that sort of musical. But La La Land was good. Arrival was fantastic. Hell or High Water was really entertaining. There was a lot of good movies. So I was, you know, it was...
I was going to say, it seems like, you know, all of the... So would you say that all the movies that were nominated for Best Picture were like well-deserved?
I didn't really like Manchester by the Sea. I know a lot of people did. I know that Casey Affleck won Best Actor. It didn't do it for me at all. I didn't really like the movie that much. Hacksaw Ridge, like I said, was kind of corny, almost to the point of being embarrassing. Lion, I didn't really like at all. But aside from that, you know, so like three were, you know, swings and misses. And Fences was good, but not great. So like, you know, let's just say three I could have done without. The rest of them, I'm glad I saw them.
Got you. Okay.
Did you catch wind of the whole controversy about the Best Picture?
They flubbed the whole thing. I saw the talk, but I didn't even watch the video. I'm not gonna lie.
It's kind of unbelievable because, first of all, it's never nothing like this has just ever even remotely happened. And what's amazing is like all the safeguards that they put in place for this, but the way that they actually hand out the awards is they have two people from this accounting firm off in the wings with identical briefcases. And that way, if something happens to one of them, the other one is still there to hand out the correct envelope. And the person just literally handed them the wrong envelope.
Wow.
I'm guessing... Now, I think they did that because historically, like, those two people, like, they drive in on different routes. So if one of them gets stuck in traffic, like, it's almost like a very old school approach to how you might want to do this. I'm guessing they might tweak this next year. You know, if anybody hasn't seen any of these movies, I mean, I would definitely say Arrival's... Everybody's going to like Arrival. I think almost everybody will like Moonlight. Hell or High Water, really entertaining. Hidden Figures, really entertaining. Fences, amazing performances. As a movie, maybe not the strongest thing I ever saw, but not bad as well. And, you know, if you like romantic comedies, give La La Land a shot. But yeah, man, I was hoping you had at least seen one of them, but you're out on movies. Because you still make, like, are you just like in music mode? You're just not really thinking about movies.
It's a combination of both. It's really interesting just where I am in my life. Just a lot of things in, you know, pop culture that, you know, a lot of people seem to care about. I just don't have time to care about or much energy to care about. So like music mode, you know, the album has turned into three, possibly four projects now. So just a lot of music. And I've just been enjoying that. And then just some other personal things that I'm trying to pursue outside of that. So, I probably need to go because I heard good things about Moonlight. And I heard good things about Hidden Figures. And I think I heard good things about Arrival too. So I just need to, you know, take a day off and just, you know, matinee it up or something like that. Go to a movie, watch a matinee, baby. You are the prototype. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll jump back in the game. Oh, speaking of that, so did you see the YouTube has jumped into the TV streaming?
Yeah.
Of course. You as somebody who is a cord cutter, what did that look appealing to you? And are you jumping on anything? PlayStation View, Sling TV, DirecTV Now, et cetera, et cetera. Have you made that binge yet?
No, I mean, for me, I need, like, because we have an antenna for local channels, which is not ideal, but it's better than nothing. I mean, I have it running. Of course, I nerded out. I have like actually like this little box that sits on my network, And the antenna actually plugs into that. And then I can access the antenna stream. It like turns it into like a video stream basically. So like I can watch the local channels like on my phone if I want to, like when football season's on. So I'm like sitting there cooking dinner on Sunday, but I'm still watching like football, like off CBS on my phone. I nerded out obviously. So like, but there is still something, at least due to the way that sports, especially football, works on local networks, where if they're going to have local networks, they got to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if they really want people to cord cut, they got to figure out a way for, if you're in Columbus, you want to make sure you're getting your Ohio teams.
Absolutely.
Right. That's going to be a little challenging. That feature will come to probably major cities at first. DirecTV could never really crack it. Like there was always like the, I think they never, I mean, I take that back. They might've eventually cracked it, but like originally DirecTV, you would get like NBC East and NBC West, and you get like the East Coast feed and the West Coast feed, but that doesn't really help you on football. Now, DirecTV will tell you buy Sunday ticket, but that's a whole other case, right? So YouTube's thing is kind of interesting. I would hope that it would be treated like a cable account when it comes to the other apps that are sort of available, right? So like, yeah, that's great that I can watch like TNT or whatever right now, but do I also get watch TNT? Do you know what I mean? Because yes. Maybe it's just me, but at this point, like, I guess I want to tune in and see what's on right now. But what I really want is access to all the stuff. Like, if you told me that, well, you had to pay for HBO Now or you know, you had to pay for Watch HBO. I'm sorry, HBO Go, but you could get live HBO for free. I'd be like, nah, I want to pay for HBO Go, because what I want is the ability to watch all that stuff when I want. Do you know what I mean? And like DVR doesn't cut it. Like I want to be able to go through and be like, no, actually I want to start binging The Wire right now. I want to treat it like Netflix.
Yeah.
And so I haven't heard yet. I want to see if the YouTube login will work, how like right now you can authenticate with these apps with your cable company login. And that's how you get access to it. Like if that's the case, that's a really compelling offer for that price. It's like $35 or $40, right?
Yeah, 35, yep.
Right, that's a really compelling offer at that price. Be interesting to see if they have like an Apple TV app. I know they said they have an iOS app. Are they going to go full-fledged and have an Apple TV app? I don't know if Google wants to go down there, but that's an interesting thing. Are they going to do something for, you know, assuming Amazon opens it up, like, you know, Amazon Fire TV, like will they put an app there? Interesting stuff to see how that plays out.
Definitely.
How about you? You interested at all?
You're more
in the Google ecosystem than I am.
Yeah, I saw the lineup, and really, I'm on YouTube all the time. And I saw the lineup, and the lineup is just kind of, meh. I mean, I essentially will be paying $35 to watch ESPN, because that seemed to be the only one that would get consistent run out of me.
They have TNT and TBS?
Hold on, I'm about to look right now. Yeah, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, CW, I don't know what that is, ESPN, CSN, Fox Sports 1, NBC Sports, USA, FX, Disney Channel, ESPN 2, ESPN 3, might as well have the Ocho on there, ESPNU, Fox Sports 2, Big Ten Network, SEC Sports, Bravo, Oxygen, FXX, I don't know what that is, Sci-Fi, Disney Junior, Disney, whatever the other one is for the teenagers, the Spanish NBC channel, ESPN News, NBC Golf, National Geographic, MSNBC, Fox News, CNBC. I can't see what that is. I don't know what that is. Sprout, National Geographic, and add-on networks are Showtime, and it looks like a soccer channel. There's no TNT, no TBS.
So no TNT, no TBS, which means, so like for March Madness, which is coming up, Sling TV will beat that.
Well, even better. No, they have a March Madness app that is amazing.
But you have to pay.
No, you don't.
If you don't have a cable login, you don't get it all.
No,
for free.
You don't.
No,
yes,
you get
you
like
do.
The first round, but once you get deeper, no.
Nah, dude, because I have it on my Fire Stick, okay. And that's how I binge watch the whole tournament.
Maybe I'm, that's how it used to be. So maybe that's good.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
But for NBA fans, no TNT. No, that's a problem. But
yeah.
If you're a college sports fan, they have like the fact they have like Big Ten Network.
Yeah,
they've
got sure.
Fox Sports 1, so like Big East basketball is on that. So that's a pretty decent lineup. FXX is sort of like the ESPN2 for FX.
Ah, okay.
I'm surprised. You know, interesting. They went really deep on sports, and they went really deep on like kids stuff. They had like XD and Sprout, so they have a particular demographic in mind.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that's weird. And Yeah, they do have a demographic, but then there's things like no AMC. You know, it's weird. And I'm saying that because, well, for one, you know, Walking Dead is one of the biggest shows on television, but it's on AMC is on a lot of different other streaming services. Right. So I assume that if one channel gets in the bed with one streaming service, then unless they're chucking up an insane amount of money to keep them exclusive, then they're going to want to get in the bed with all of the streaming services.
No, not necessarily.
Cutting cable. Why not? No,
because they don't want for, generally speaking, they don't want for one group to emerge as the victor. Like, if that makes sense. So, like, a lot of the media companies, and this is the problem with that. This is why Apple doesn't have a service like this. They've been working on this for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But they can't get it because CBS won't go in for Apple because, as for one example, but it's because they're all terrified that, like, somebody's going to do what iTunes did, right? Where before streaming, iTunes became and still is for download. It's like, that's where you go. That's the one thing, which means Apple gets to make the rules, right? Streaming is still definitely a toss-up. Like, who's going to win? Nobody really knows. That's fine. But for video, the major networks, they want no part of another iTunes-like situation emerging, which is why Apple specifically has had real trouble getting everybody to agree to do something like this. But they're happy to say, yeah, go ahead, YouTube TV. Keep Apple in check.
Mm.
So that's why. Like, they're all afraid of that because they see iTunes as a bad – they see what happened with iTunes. They see a missed opportunity because the music industry is still trying to tell itself that they could have gotten back to the years of, like, 99, 2000 when – you know, people were selling ridiculous sales. They still think that's the narrative. They to use CRS terminology, they learned the wrong lesson, right? They think the lesson is that they let Apple have power, right?
Yeah.
The lesson is that Napster and stuff like that taught an entire generation to have a different relationship to music.
Yep.
And once that's out of the bag, there's no coming back. So iTunes was, like, one of the best things that they could have done for the music industry because it made it legit and easy to just and to buy music. And not everybody did, and there was still piracy and all that. But for those who were willing, it made it really easy to find that. And
gotcha.
And but they feel like, oh, we got taken for a ride by Apple.
Gotcha.
So that's why not every channel is on all. That's why, like, PlayStation View and YouTube, that's why they don't all have the same lineups. Because if they did, then they'd be competing on, like, features, right? So, like, mm-hmm. YouTube TV has unlimited DVR storage space. If they had all the channels, people would be like, well, that's what I'm doing. Because nobody else is going to match that. But instead, they're sort of doing this artificial thing where it's like, oh, well, you can get most of the channels here and you can get most of the channels here. And it's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, gotcha. We were really deep on YouTube TV there.
Yeah, we were really deep on that. But that's fine. That's our audience. We're fine. Are we ready to let's talk about some music?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah, we could talk music.
All right, let's do it. Where you want to go? Where you want to go first?
I have something that we didn't prep for, but that's because it just happened.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Kendrick Lamar.
Uh-huh.
A newly published interview with the New York Times Magazine.
Uh-huh.
He's recording the follow-up to Pimp a Butterfly right now.
Okay.
And he is explicitly saying that he is going to speak on God and religion.
What? You guys are killing me, man. You guys are killing me. It's
so here's. Do you want me to read you the quote?
Yeah, sure.
All right. To Pimp a Butterfly was addressing the problem. I'm in a space now where I'm not addressing the problem anymore. We're in a time where we exclude one major component out of this whole thing called life: God. Nobody speaks on it because it's almost in conflict with what's going on in the world when you talk about politics and government and the system. End quote. And then he says his next album will engage directly with this conflict, and he says it's very urgent.
I got high hopes for you niggas. We gonna see. That's really. Yeah, I don't like because this feels like the Jesus song at the end of the album. Like, we're gonna talk about God, and we're just, like, announcing that. Like, just talk about it. Just in a context that glorifies him and places him first and in the center, if that's what you're intending to do, as opposed to just sprinkling it around just to say that you did it. You know what I'm saying? It's really interesting that, you know, this discussion is just so crazy on Chance and Kendrick leading. I mean, we could talk about, like, what is God? Like, you know, is Kendrick actually a friend of Jesus? No, I'm not gonna get into that. So, like, where Kendrick and Chance are leading the God revolution, and then like the Christian artists are like not talking about God explicitly at all. it's that's so fascinating to me. That's so fascinating to me. And I think that if those who were in relationship with him really spoke of him, then they would have better discernment to see where Kendrick and Chance and other people like them are, if as opposed to just saying, okay, well, they're talking about God like it's good, or they're talking about God and this isn't God, this isn't the God of the Bible, that's not him, run, like it's not. I just, oh, that's just so, I'm not even mad, I'm just annoyed. It's just like, fine, Kendrick, let's just talk about it. Just talk about it.
Right. I mean, who knows, right? Maybe it'll be a gospel album in the way that Life of Pablo was a gospel album. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's see. I mean, the thing is, I don't know. I mean, the success of Chance the Rapper last year kind of, you know, okay. Why even say that in the interview? Like, why does it even
right.
matter?
Yeah. Exactly. And I said that years ago. I think when we reviewed Gravity. Mm. I said that it was about to be really popular and really cool to talk about Jesus, and you were going to have to, Christians were going to have to use their relationship with the Lord to determine who was sincere and who was chasing a check, because everything was going to sound good on the surface, but the heart and the intent behind it would be off, and there would be no other way for us to tell other than like the Lord revealing it. I said that like 5 years ago, and now we're here. Clockstra freaking Damas, man. I just don't want the church to turn into a den of thieves. But it's so convoluted, and it's such a heavy and weighty and complicated conversation. Because on the surface, yeah, absolutely, you want that to happen, but you also know that, you know, Christ was rejected when he was on earth. So, you know, not to say that he wouldn't have followers, but it wasn't cool, because many of the things that he preaches is like anti-culture, and it always has been, and it always will be. So I just want.
I shouldn't have sprung this on you.
Yeah, man. this is why I talk about sneakers and battle rap on Twitter, because I could really be talking about this stuff all day. We'll see.
Okay.
That's really all I can say. We'll see. I can't judge it either way. So.
Do you want to talk at all about Kanye releasing a 17 minute long version of the Dream singing Bed over sort of overwrought synthesizers?
Well, that's you, right? I'm not literally like you singing about.
Yeah, it's actually an unreleased vocal of me singing in my office. No. So you know, way back when the Dream was still making, was still the go-to for like, this artist needs a first single. This is, we're talking, Justin Bieber, Baby, Rihanna, Umbrella, etc. era, Dream, you know, he wrote, him and Tricky wrote and produced Bed for Jay Holiday. Remember him?
Ooh.
Right. I'm sure Jay Holiday's out there like, wait a minute, do I get anything out of this? And so for Yeezy Season 5, there was this incredibly overwrought and long extended like remix of Bed that, sure, it's, you know, the Dream singing and it sounds like CD quality, and that's okay, sure. Like that's kind of cool. But they also, like, it's not the beat, you know, it's like just all these like very orchestral, like atmospheric synthesizers, and it's just kind of like, nah, okay. Like you get to the first part and you're like, this is where the song would normally end, but then they're like stretching it out and they're like bringing refrains back, and then you're like, this is still going, and I'm like, okay, I'm cool.
yeah, totally.
So right, I mean, if you're a Dream stan like we are, then really you just, what you want to do is, I believe it's on YouTube, you can just go get the actual like demo recording of Dream singing Bed.
Yeah, that too.
Just listen to that. That's better. Or you know what? Shout out to Jay Holiday. Just listen to that. That's better.
Is it?
Listen.
Is it? Okay. Hey, no shots from me, bro.
But let's get to something that a lot of people have been talking about over the past
week or so. Oh boy. We are on a roll today. What are we talking about?
We're talking about Remy and Nicki.
Remy and Nicki Minaj, the queens of rap.
So I was trying to make sure I had all of the history. I don't think I have all of the history here. But the recent history, correct me if I'm wrong. So Remy goes on Flex in December and throws some subliminal shots when she's rapping over New York State of Mind, which is that's right there is the most New York sentence you could possibly say.
Yeah, it's like I saw my son, my boy told me to check out my son. He rapped on Hot 97 and then it's Flex there. And then the Welcome to New York City beat comes on. And then he says, New York, stand up. I'm already checked out. It's like there's too many New York variables. Like, come on, man. I lived through the stand up era. I'm comfortable. I'm not standing up. But anyway, continue.
So Nicki throws some shots on this record with Gucci Mane, Make Love.
Yep.
And then Remy retaliates with Sheether.
Yep. Before that.
Well, yeah. What am I missing?
I believe there were some shots. I don't know if it was the Hot 97 shots or if there were some shots on some other records. I believe there were some other records. And Remy was asked on the Breakfast Club. And I think Nicki was asked as well after like one of those title performances. They were always asked about each other. And it was always, I like Nicki. We're cool. I respect her. Yada, yada, yada. It was that. So you have that. But then you're also, and this is what I talked about in hip hop, just like a lot of hip hop just lacks accountability. And you mix the pride in it. So it's like, if I'm saying I'm not talking about you, then why would make love make you jump out the window for a 7-minute diss? You know what I'm saying? Because those shots were way more vague than, and then if you listen to Fat Joe and Remy's album, have you done that?
I started, and then I got to the record with The Dream where they decided to do a Drake Caribbean Jams song, and I was like, nope, cut it off.
So yeah, there is a record where Remy's taken a lot of shots. So, you know, Remy, if anything, if we're just basing it off of the Sublimes leading up to Sheether, Nicki should have been the one who jumped out the window first. Because Remy was way more direct with her indirects than Nicki. And Nicki has always belittled other people in her rhymes, as most rappers do.
Every time you say jump out the window, I just hear Ether
jumping out. Oh, we're going to talk about Ron Browse today. Just not right now.
Okay. So is it wrong that the cynical person in me just thinks basically that Fat Joe and Nick and Remy record isn't going to do anything? So she's trying to keep this going.
We've seen that happen several times before. You know, you and I being hip hop historians, then yeah, I'm not surprised. I feel like Remy has been wanting to do this since she was in prison.
Probably.
I feel like a lot of that was because some of the stuff that she was talking about was like, really, on the first diss, like you jump out the window with this one? Dang, that's really Ron Browse. Like you start off on 10. And well, the funny part is you can tell that Remy has more. But yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah.
So
I don't know.
But the thing is, like, this is I don't want to say an obvious move for Remy. This is all to her advantage, right? She is at the advantage in this scenario because, number one, she's sort of the first mover, right? This is the first, like, serious shot. Number two, the popularity disparity, right? This is the Drake Meek Mill problem. Actually, yeah, it's not quite the Drake Joe Budden problem.
Yeah.
But it's more like the Drake Meek Mill situation where, like, Nicki has a lot to lose here.
1,000%.
We're going to talk about the actual diss in a sec, but and to me, Nicki, I mean, by sort of going on Twitter and like nitpicking parts of it, that's like mistake number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like the best thing Nicki could have done is just not said anything. And then when people ask about her, say, Remy who?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Like, but you're right. Like Remy, there's no subliminals here, right? This isn't Jay at the end of Takeover. You know what did you know, to you know who? Like, no, no. But I don't even know where to start with this. First of all, New York, could you give up on Ether? Could you? It was bad in 2001. It's right. Bad in 2017.
Correct. And it's not even the real version of the beat. Like, it's a remake.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, that's totally a remake.
The trumpets are
totally different.
See, I didn't listen to it on headphones. I was literally just playing it off of my phone, like through the phone speaker, so I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I don't even think the real instrumental exists.
Really?
Nah.
I think some
producer remade it on YouTube or remade it years ago, and it's just held live. And you think that it by this point, with as I sent you and friend of the show Sean on Twitter, Ron Brow's post about it, you think that he would have released the instrumental by now,
or at the very least, like, you know, it's not like, I mean, I'm guessing Remy could have gotten in touch with Ron, like could have figured
it
out.
Exactly.
So first of all, like, so do you want to talk about, like, I don't know, I don't even know where to start with this.
It's a lot. It's a very convoluted conversation. So we could just talk about the disc as is, and then maybe that'll, you know, branch out into the narrative.
I have a problem with a lot of things about this. I have a problem with, I mean, frankly, am I crazy? Remy's flow is not right on this.
At all.
She falls out of pocket all over the place.
It's too slow. It's too slow for her.
Mm.
She's not a slow tempo rapper. She should have picked like Victory, or at the slowest, she should have picked like Takeover or something.
Victory would have been.
Mm-hmm.
This record over Victory?
Yeah, you rappers aren't utilizing that Victory instrumental enough. You might have to. I've been in a nice little. Hold on. All right, we'll talk. We'll discuss after the show.
Apparently, I'm doing some emergency mixing tonight.
Maybe. I got a lot coming very soon, and I might have to slot that in there somewhere. But yeah, something a little faster would have helped her out a lot, because that beat did her no favors.
But most of this basically boils down to two things. Remy is appalled and offended by how unloyal she thinks Nicki Minaj is.
Mm-hmm.
And two, she's slut-shaming her.
Yeah.
And that's 1,000%. The entire diss.
1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%. Total slut shaming.
The loyal piece, whatever. I'm not even going to get into that. I can't judge that. I don't know Nicki Minaj.
Sure.
And Remy, certainly the way that she's rapping seems to indicate that someone has given her a lot of info.
We know who that someone is.
Could it be Meek Mill?
Possibly. Maybe.
Oh, Meek.
Man, just listen, man. Listen, listen. If you're listening to the show, if your relationship is over or has been over for a few months or even a few years, because sometimes it takes a while to get over a relationship depending on the complexity of it, the length of it, whatever, whatever. Listen, you just got to remember the good times about that person and like let them go. Let them go. Let them go. You'll find somebody just as good and better, and so will they. And you guys are better for whatever you learn from the relationship. When you start lingering around and snapping your fingers and rolling your neck and, ooh, girl, I hurt. Mm-mm. You are lowering your stock for other women that are watching you, because then they're saying, well, if we break up, he's going to do this to me too. I'm not going to waste my time. But I digress. Back to the diss.
Yeah. A lot of, I don't know. I don't even know. I mean, to me, like, there wasn't anything in here that really made me go, wow. Like, I actually thought, you know, I'll give her credit, the part at the end where she uses Nicki, you know, Nicki in the Minaj, Nicki in the Garage, Nicki Barnes, Nick Nolte. Like, I was like, okay. You know, give you credit for that. But like, I don't know. There's some bad lines in here. Like, that's why this is my house, Flo Rida. I was like, nope.
Hold on. I'm about to pull up the lyrics right now, because there's a few, because what I sent it to my man and he said, man, Pat put his foot in that freestyle. And I said, And I went back and listened to it, because it is, before we get into the slut shaming, the whole diss is shock value as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of shock. And this is a shock and awe strategy from Remy. Like, what Remy is trying to do, I mean, maybe she's, I don't know if she's purposely trying to do it, but the effect is, this is so much that Nicki, that she's trying to compel Nicki to respond.
Yep.
Because when Nicki responds, all the pressure in the world is on Nicki at that point.
Yep.
If the response doesn't, like, you know, obliterate Remy, then she loses. It could even be better than Sheether, which, I mean, I don't know how high of a bar that is, but it doesn't matter because disses aren't about who has the best song.
At all.
That's what the Jay and Nas beef should have taught us all.
That's what Drake and Joe Budden taught us as well.
Who? It's about it's about who the fans want to win.
Absolutely. And the fans will always root for the underdog.
Which is why the Drake Meek Mill scenario was so fascinating.
Yes.
Meek had every opportunity to win that, and he totally screwed everything up.
Completely messed it up. Completely messed it up. Hold on.
Yeah, you're right. The This Is My House Flo Rida is absolutely a Papoose-like line. Whether I mean, who knows, right? I mean, they are married. They live together. Like, it could just be that Papoose is rubbing off on Remy's rhyme style.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe when two become one, I believe that you pick up a lot of things from your significant other. You and your wife act just alike. So I totally you can't get online without Safari. Word. Also, I mean, Face Off, Nicolas Cage. I'm wild. Yeah. This how I know she watches a lot of Smack URL rap battles circa like 2014, because 2 years ago every single battle rapper had Mariah I Carry, about to hit, like I'm Wildin' Out with the Cannon, like all of that is 2 years ago. No. Tried to disrespect Taylor because Taylor wasn't swift enough. Pillsbury Dough Girl, Remy picked the biscuit up.
That does. There's a lot of battle rapper in there.
You slept with the whole empire. Who you trying to be, Cookie? Empire bars.
Yeah, I'm wilding out about to hit Nick with the cannon. Is just God. I just feel like Papoose is getting his hair cut with his hat on as that's happening.
She also received oral sex while she was driving as well in the Lean Back video. So there's that. So they just.
So this is not a good. This is not a good song. But the question is it an effective diss?
It's 1,000% effective.
Right, because Nikki, she's feeling some kind of way.
Nikki ran to Twitter and Instagram and tried to play the numbers game. And again, this is why we've talked about this at length. The people, the fans control the narrative. The people believe whatever they want to believe, even if it's not true. And in this case, the numbers weren't good enough, especially when somebody like Drake shot back, because Drake and Nikki are in the same, like you could say that they're in the same space. And if Drake felt the need to shoot at Meek Mill and later shoot at Pusha finally, and still hasn't gotten a response back. Look at that. Yeah, that's bad. How you shoot at Drake for like 4 or 5 years? He finally responds back and then you don't respond. Pusha should have had like 10 verses in the tuck, like ready, and just pick the best one and just play Russian roulette with it. That's crazy. But anyway, Nikki can't play Nikki tried to play the numbers game and everybody was like, nope, you got to rap.
Right.
And now she's on Instagram taking pictures half naked, bunch of videos and stuff from Future. She's playing the I'm too big to respond or I'm too busy to respond card, which is amazing because in the Drake and Meek Mill beef, she was privy to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think that she would have saw that and said, okay, I have to not play my hand like that. So does this damage the brand of Nicki Minaj? Can she still call other female rappers her sons? No, not until she raps and she puts out a good verse too. She could even not respond to Rim, but she could put out a single that just is like really, really dope and she's really rapping on it and that'll be good enough. This will die off. But if she's still doing the I got it in the can dole, if she's doing those bars, it makes the Remy narrative all the more powerful. And she loses a nice chunk of stock.
Mm. Right. I mean, let me ask you this. I mean, like, do you really want a Nicki Minaj album right now?
Do I ever want a Nicki Minaj album?
At one point, I was curious about a Nicki Minaj album. But like, really, do I want a Nicki Minaj album? I don't think so.
No, and the funny part is you and I were surprised by Pinkprint. Like, it wasn't whack, but it wasn't
Roman's Revenge or whatever her other albums were.
Oh,
like,
God, that song is terrible.
Yeah. And that's the funny part. I heard she's got to bring back Roman. No, she doesn't. Please don't.
Right.
Do not do that. I want her to get, if she's taking pictures with Drake in the studio and if Safari isn't helping her write, and I'm not mad at, you know, helping, getting help writing. I'm not mad at that at all. But if she's rapping like she's rapping how she has been for the last year, or even with Meek, because the stuff that Meek was writing for her wasn't that good either. If she's rapping like this, I don't want to hear anything from her. So she gotta get her team together, and I'm sure she's working on something. I wouldn't be surprised, and I talked about this with some friends of the show. I wouldn't be surprised if, and you said it now, Kendrick's coming out with something. Nicki's absolutely coming out with something this year. I think it seems all the heavy hitters are coming out this year.
I mean, it's forever rumored that Jay will come out with something, but you know.
Jay's absolutely coming out with something.
I mean, we said that last year and the year before. Just saying.
No, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, that's a whole other conversation. Anything else you want to say about Remy?
No, did we want to talk about did we go into depth with the slut shaming, or are we good?
Well, boy, this is complicated. So there's two types of things going on here, right? So shaming Nicki for work that you know, for purported, we'll say, although if you look at pictures, seemingly obvious. right. It's not right. Like, unless there's some sort of second puberty that people go through that I'm not aware.
Right. second puberty. That was really petty.
No, I'm trying.
That was mad petty.
No, I mean, I'm serious. Like, you know. We don't know for sure, but, you know, it appears as though Nicki's had some work. Now, and so there's shaming for that, which seems to be like a don't throw stones if you're in a glass house kind of situation for Remy, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep. Because so, Remy looks like she's had some work done, too.
And I don't really care, but Remy...
I don't care either.
But Remy seems to say that she cares, but that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And then the rest of it is, so not shaming her about her body, but shaming her... For the fact that, you know, what she's alleging is that Nicki has slept around, and, you know, the sort of insinuation, if not outright said, is that that's how she got to where she's at in a way,
mm-hmm.
right? An A-list groupie.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, does that sort of behavior happen in the world? Sure.
Absolutely.
Is that the only way for women to get to where they're at? No. Is that the only way that attractive women get to where they're at? No. Are there lots of terrible ways for men or women to get to where they're at where they don't deserve to be there?
Absolutely.
Right? But, you know, you never, I mean, nobody, who accuses a man of sleeping his way to the top, right? It's this thing, it's like this sort of, what I don't know is like, I can't really, because I don't know Remy, I don't know the situation, right? All we can see is what we hear. I don't know if this is a case of Remy is legit just mad and pissed off at Nicki, so this is what's coming out, or is this really like kind of how she views, oh well, you must have got to where you're at by this way? Because like, listen, like, yeah, Nicki can kind of go off in her own thing, but like, it's not as though Nicki doesn't know how to rap,
right? Mm-hmm. She can definitely get in a pocket or get a flow and just flow Remy to death. Absolutely.
So it, that's the thing that doesn't make any sense about sort of the, not that slut shaming is ever a good thing, but it's like, of all people, like, look, you can critique, and we have, the songs and the albums that Nicki Minaj has put out, but it's not as though she is somebody who has absolutely no talent when it comes to rapping. That's not the case. So
yep,
I just don't get it.
Here's my perspective. My perspective from, and you know, I like to speak on culture and just people's responses, which are to me just as important as the narratives that artists and people present, is that we live in a very sexual culture. And so you can't encourage Nicki, even if the, okay, say this narrative is, say, not all of it, but say embrace your body, if you want to show it off, you know, sex sells. You can't put that out there and then champion and say yes and all that other stuff, and then when somebody says you're a slut and you sleep around, be like, oh, you're right, you are, like, you got to pick a side. Like, that's not fair to champion Nicki and women who choose to show and display their bodies and, you know, insinuate things sexually, et cetera, et cetera, and then
now all of a sudden say that it's the same people that are saying that that's good are also saying that that's bad. Like, you can't do both. That's not fair to that narrative. Pick a side. So either it's empowering for women to do that, or she's a slut and she has no business doing it. And we're not even going to get into the stuff she said about her brother and the pedophilia and all that, because that was just, that was hateful. That was just really, really yeesh. That's hands and feet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, families are complicated. Really incredibly complicated. And
yeah.
And who and how you choose to react to what happens when people in your family do terrible things. I can't say there's a right or a wrong way to do it, right?
Absolutely.
It's happened in my family, and I know how I sort of approached it and where I fell on that situation, but I'm not even trying to judge. Like, yeah, that's...
It's people always say what they would do or what they wouldn't do until they're in that situation. If you were dealing with somebody, if you're in a relationship and you say, I'll never, or when you're single, you say, I'll never date a cheater. And then you get in a relationship and you get cheated on, but you love that person so much, you forgive them and you work through it and you take it back. Are you wrong? Or does your perspective change because you're in that situation and you're with somebody that you really care about? Like, it's totally different on the outside versus what it is inwardly. And whatever way Nikki chose to deal with that was her way of dealing with that. We can't shame her for that either.
I mean, but people are gonna, apparently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That makes me mad more than the disses. Is just all of a sudden people get on these moral high horses. But if you parallel it to other situations, people will take the other side in a different situation. That's not fair. And it's really, really corny. And it's really like, I can't even think of the word that I'm thinking of. But whatever. It's whack. Wiggity whack.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.